Welcome, everybody, to Pizza Rainbow, Episode 7, the second part of Best of 2014. I'm here with my little brother, Dan. Say hi, Dan.
Hi.
We're here for Christmas break. It's pretty amazing.
It is.
Dan's really excited to be a part of this podcast.
Super.
I'm going to sucker him into doing another podcast with me right after this.
That's not true.
It's going to happen.
Don't believe her.
Thanks, everybody, again for tuning in. And here's Best of Part 2. And we're on.
We're on!
What's up, Jen Paulson?
All kinds of stuff. It's the holidays. Only have a couple more days left to work before it's Christmas.
I know.
But zero Christmas presents. It's probably going to stay that way. You fucked.
You have the whole weekend, though.
Do you want to go shopping with anywhere this weekend?
Nope. I don't.
I'm going to make stuff, craft stuff, or just give stuff away that I already have.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here, Mom, here's a crock pot. Just kidding. I need that back.
Here's a crock pot for you to use until I want it again.
Just this weekend.
Yep.
Actually, just use it now. Do you need anything?
It's a crock pot sharing service.
Yeah.
Which they really should have because that would be great. I don't want to buy a whole crock pot.
They take up so much space.
They do take up a lot of space. I love making stuff in the crock pot, but like I don't make enough stuff to necessitate or warrant the buying of a crock pot.
Yeah, they're great. I have a really nice one.
Yeah, you do. You have a fancy one.
I got a really fancy one,
but I gave it away.
I kind of want one of those Cuisinart ones that you can like set the temperature and the time, and it tells you that you're pretty and stuff.
Yeah, that would be great.
Those are the best.
You know, it's one of my inventions that I still want to make is a weight scale with Todd O'Dowd's voice telling you how pretty you look.
Aww.
And like you can input your goals of like, I want to be here. And if you get like way above the goals, like Todd O'Dowd will give you like a recorded lecture on it. But when you step on it, he's like, you're looking good. Like just gives you that extra information that you need.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I got to figure out how to do that. If there are any inventors out there who are listening to this podcast, get a hold of me because I feel like we can make $1 billion. That or Billy Eichner. But maybe I'll keep it local with Todd O'Dowd's voice.
Yeah, he'll be like, good job getting on the scale, Amber.
Yeah. Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid, you're doing it.
Oh, it'll be perfect. All right, so anyway, so we're back to part two of our best of 2014 pop culture moments.
Yeah, because you needed 2.5 hours altogether, give or take.
Who wants to read a list on BuzzFeed when you can listen to 2 hours worth of podcasts?
Of material that I stole from BuzzFeed.
That's true.
Not necessarily. I guess I haven't seen a 2014 BuzzFeed list yet.
You know, I actually haven't either. Yeah, I don't really go on BuzzFeed a whole lot. I hear people make fun of it every once in a while, but I actually kind of enjoy their lists. They're full of a lot of GIFs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't go straight to BuzzFeed. But like if someone posts something from BuzzFeed, then I'm like, I'm going to post this link. And then I'm on there for like 3 fucking hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like,
I think it's super entertaining.
I think it's great. And I don't even care.
Yeah. I don't care what people
I don't care if you think it's too BuzzFeed-y for your tastes. I think it's fun. And I'm not cynical yet.
Do you want to start?
I can.
Okay. Let's go one by one. Let's do that. So you do one and then I'll do one. We'll flip-flop.
We'll flip it, flop it, flippy. I do that all the time. Okay, so returning to my list, the second half of my list is very organized. Number I don't know two. How that happened. What do you call it? Would the Oscars from earlier this year be the 2014 Oscars or the 2013 Oscars?
Well, the Oscar ceremony happened in 2014, so all I right. Would count it for 2014.
2014 Oscars. DVR'd it, watched it live, and then probably watched it about 7 more times throughout the year. I think I literally just deleted it from my DVR.
Really?
Because I think like the first 30, 45 minutes of the writing on this year's Oscars were just super enjoyable.
Yeah.
And I think that Ellen was a great host. And I feel bad that Liza got made fun of, but that was like seriously one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
It really was. Yeah.
And when she was like, oh, you're one of the most legit Liza Minnelli like impersonators I've ever seen. And oh god. And Liza didn't like it, but she was sitting right next to her sister, Lorna Luft, who fucking laughed her head off. Cause that's what little sisters do.
That's right.
But yeah, no. Liza wasn't pleased, but God, Liza's it was so funny.
I mean, she is so talented. Like, there's nobody who can do cabaret the way that she does.
Yeah,
but
I've
like
seen
she
it so many times
become,
too.
Yeah, she's become an exaggeration of herself.
Yeah, well, it happens. It happens when it's just kind of how it goes. But no, it was just a really fun Oscars telecast this year.
It was super fun.
I mean, yeah. I think that in that weird pizza gag was hilarious.
I thought that was funny too. And I heard people on Twitter was like, "That was stupid." I'm like, "That was freaking hilarious."
That was great. It was accessible. It's mm-hmm. you want to people want to kind of. I think people obviously like to see their celebrities kind of as like real people taking selfies and.
Yeah, that selfie was epic.
I mean, it broke Twitter.
Yeah. It really did. It was kind of fun to see that happen.
So that's that's really cool.
Yeah. I think Ellen is one of the few people right now kind of on the scene who can be as spontaneous like that.
Absolutely.
And it just works. Like, she doesn't have to have a whole bunch of jokes written for her. Like, she can just riff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She can riff, but then she can also kind of, she can go with the jokes that are there, and she can riff, and she can do it all. She can just do it all. She's the best.
She's fantastic. Yeah, I have to agree. I love this ceremony. I feel like, okay, so how many is it the Golden Globes that Tina Fey and Amy Poehler have been hosting?
Yeah, do you have that on your list?
No, okay. I don't, but it should be.
I have it on mine.
But isn't there a second one coming up? Have they only hosted one, or did I miss the second one?
Nope, I think they hosted last year, and I think they may have hosted the year before.
Okay.
This might be their third year.
Okay.
I could be wrong, and I could be confused.
I'll have to look that up, because I feel like I missed it. The last Golden Globe ceremony that they did.
Yep, I think last year was them, and I actually think the year before that was Ricky.
Yeah, because they've only done it once, unless there's already been a Golden Globes for this year.
Yep, no, so the next one coming up is January 11th.
Okay.
Because I always watch with my friend Alexa, and we always do like the same picture every year.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm stoked. Yeah.
I get really, my one thing, and a couple of friends up north have noticed this, when it comes to award ceremonies, like, there is no talking. Like, I will shush you. Like, there's talking over commercials, but, like, when people are doing the presentations and when whoever's hosting is, like, talking, like, I get really upset if people are talking.
Cool. So make other plans for the 11th of January because you watch television with me.
And you talk a lot, yeah.
I love it. I love talking when the TV is on. I love talking all the time. Let's just do this super quick because I've got my fifth one down my list since we're already talking about it. And then you can do two in a row.
Yeah, go for it.
But, yeah, my next one was the Golden Globes. I love award shows.
Yeah.
And you know that. We ended up watching the CMAs.
Yeah.
Country Music Awards. Apparently my dog did too. but yeah, Amy and Tina totally killed it on the Globes.
Yeah, they did. I'm surprised I didn't put that on my list. That's so good.
Their jokes. You should have just pretended that you did. I mean, like, this is our tandem one. High five. We love this. And there's that gif of them where they're high-fiving. Sometimes I just have to, I need like a page of like bookmarks, just gif bookmarks
just
for like.
Just start a Tumblr and put all the gifs on there.
No, I know, but I want it more like just a thing that for me where I can just like click and I just get a gif whenever I need it. Like sometimes when I'm in a bad mood, I get that gif of that cat.
Yeah.
That's like, fuck this thing too. Like, especially fuck this thing.
You know, you can save those to your desktop.
Yeah. Good to know.
Yeah.
But yeah, some of the jokes that they made were just incredible. There's like this YouTube video where it's just got kind of their best zingers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen it. Yeah,
look
that's
below,
awesome.
You guys. I saved the link. I'm gonna give it to you.
You can access that in our blog post after this podcast is published.
Yes, and I wish I could say that I read Amy Poehler's Yes, Please book, but it is on my list of things to read when it gets cheaper at Half Price Books.
That's right. It's on my Kindle list. So if I get a sweet-ass Amazon gift card for Christmas this year, it'll be one of the things that I pick up. Yeah, I wanted to get – that was the only Black Friday thing that I was actually tempted to do is that Barnes & Noble had autograph copies.
No way!
Yeah, of Amy Poehler's book and Neil Patrick Harris, his Choose Your Own Autobiography.
Oh, nice.
And they had the why can't I think of anybody's name? DVF, Diane Von Furstenberg's book too.
Which that is better than a show, I'm sure.
That book, I bet, is amazing.
I'm sure the book is incredible.
Yeah.
So just like she is.
She is pretty freaking epic. But yeah, that was the only Black Friday deal that I was like, you know, I might actually go to Barnes & Noble at 5 o'clock in the morning just to get like an autographed copy of that. But I didn't. But yeah.
If I'm going to get an autographed copy of that book, I kind of want her her pen and her hand to touch my book.
Yeah. You know, we'll have to keep track of Mall of America because they usually do some pretty awesome author signings. I'm surprised that she's not on the books for that already.
I'm kind of not surprised just because she's so busy.
Yeah.
Like, if she had put the book out after Parks and Rec was over, then definitely I could have saw a book tour.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised Lena Dunham didn't come up here for her book signing.
She just doesn't understand that this, like, this is her territory. I mean, she could just take over this territory.
She could take over this territory. I Lena Dunham, if you're listening, we need you to know.
We're going to post a link to something that you see. We're going to, like, say, hey, Twitter, Lena Dunham, we love this podcast, and you should come to our town.
We're going
to
start a Twitter campaign.
Yeah, and I'll play, like, in a band, like, I'll make songs and play, like, a tambourine. Lena Dunham, listen to what we say.
I always wanted to play the tambourine in a band. It was always my instrument of choice because my cousin got to do it once at my aunt's wedding. She got to go up with the band and play the tambourine to I Love a Rainy Night. And I was so effing jealous for like the rest of my life that I'm like, I just want to be the tambourine girl.
Shit, I'm jealous.
Yeah.
Because I too am a fan of Eddie Rabbit.
Yeah. It's a great song.
Oh, God, that song rules.
Would that be super fun to play the tambourine to that?
Yes.
We should do karaoke and just bring a tambourine.
I have a tambourine. I have a tambourine. If you need to, you know, put something on Craigslist where it says, have tambourine, we'll travel, and you can play tambourine in bands.
I'd be so good at playing the tambourine.
Yeah, you can use the tambourine if you want.
The tambourine and the recorder. If you need them in your band to really fill out that wall of sound, you just let me know.
If you, once you bring the recorder into it, you have to wear like flowy clothes and smell like patchouli.
Well, I have patchouli already.
Okay, good.
So I'm halfway there.
We'll thrift you some flowy clothes, some flowing garb.
A flowing skirt and an ethnic blouse. It'd be perfect.
Hey, Amber, I bet you have another thing on your list.
I might have one. I might have a couple things on my list. So number 11 for me was 11-year-old Taylor and choreographer Lawrence and their choreographed dance to Anaconda by Nicki Minaj.
Oh my God.
And then they also have a whole bunch of other videos on their YouTube channel of her doing dances that he choreographed. It's freaking phenomenal.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And as predicted, Ellen had them on her show. It wasn't as good because it was kind of censored and they had to censor out like one of the best parts of the dance. But if you, I'll link to it on our blog post, but the videos, like I literally, like stayed up probably 4 hours one summer night just like playing her videos over and over. Like they're fantastic.
That's awesome. That's such a good summer night thing to do.
Yeah. She's incredibly talented. And so is he. Lawrence is a great choreographer. So yeah, so that was my number 11 of pop culture moments.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I did two. Do another one.
Okay. The number 12 was Basic Bitch and Norm Cortex. This is why I didn't call the list like my favorite pop culture moments, just because I think it was something that kind of defined the year for, not like defined the year, but it was a defining moment of the year of the Basic Bitch, like kind of tag and label, and then the Normcore tag and label. And to me, it just seems like it's another way for women to hate on other women, which really aggravates me a lot. So
yeah,
I don't like it. Yeah. I don't really have that much to say other than I think it sucks. So.
That's okay. I just, what's this, what's a normcore thing?
Normcore is...
Please teach me.
Like, I think kind of one of the Urban Dictionary definitions is like girls who wear like Lululemon yoga pants and like messy top buns and you get like pumpkin spice lattes. It's basically, it's like basic bitch. Only it's more of like kind of a stylistic...
Okay.
Kind of thing. So yeah,
it's almost like a culture, like class war situation.
Yeah, it's kind of like a modern classism.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ew. Because I would normcore. What about, you know, Norm from Cheers, man? Mm-hmm. That's normcore to me.
Like, I would think of normcore as like the suburban housewife.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, it's normal. Because guess what? Wearing like an outfit to work out that costs like $300 ain't fucking normal. Sorry, I got real mad.
It's not. Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
I take my dog to this doggy daycare, which I guess would actually be kind of normcore, make me a basic bitch in some circles. That being said, the lady that owns it drives a fucking Maserati.
That's crazy. She, what?
A Maserati.
She owns a Maserati, or she drives a Maserati, and she owns a dog park.
A doggy daycare.
A doggy daycare. I mean, holy shit.
We need to get into that.
What else is she doing? Like, is she in stocks and bonds?
Maybe she's a madam, because she's a real bitch. I don't like her at all. We got into it once. Like, my dog's, like, some of her, like... You have to, like, make sure that all their tests are up to date.
Yeah.
But they don't tell you. They're not super organized.
Okay.
So I brought her in, and I drive, like, 30 hours to work, right? 30 hours. 30 hours every day. How do I get any work done? Anyway, we got into it. This did not happen in 2014. I need to let it go. But all the people there that work there are fantastic. Okay. I should have pimped the canine club.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to do that, I should probably not say that I don't like the owner and that she drives a Maserati.
Yeah, maybe
and,
not. Remember the conversation we had about not talking smack about people?
Yeah, don't remind me while we're recording, because then I'm going to be like, will you take this out? And you'll be like, we'll take this out. And then we never take it out. Maserati lady, I love you. I'm just
Nobody
kidding.
Nobody knows what company that she's talking about.
But I just said it.
Yeah. Why did she just
I said it earlier. Why didn't you say that you said it? Because that's just how idiotic I am. Moving on. It just comes down to she drives a Maserati. She wears all Lululemon. When we were in our fight, she's wearing all Lululemon.
Okay.
In our fight.
In your.
I threw a cat at her. But she drives a Maserati with, like, you know, the Minnesota license plate where it's got, like, the American flag and an eagle on it. And
no.
It doesn't work.
No.
The lady slipper one would look better. Anyway, 2014, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Norm I'm not core. Accepting your apology.
Hashtag,
not
hashtag normcore, hashtag basic bitch. I just learned it and then I utilized it in real life.
I think that's great. That's applicable learning right there.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I used it as a joke in my Instagram post a couple days ago about Normcore or whatever, because I was making, like, pumpkin spice coconut latte or whatever. But I don't know. Like, it's stuff like that. And I think, I think I was talking to my friend Kate about this, too, where, like, it just, I don't know. I wish that we would focus on other cool stuff instead of, like, coming up with terms to, like, hate on other women or, like, slag other women and their style and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's not productive to our universe, especially with everything that's going on. So, yeah. What's your next one?
Mine, this is ridiculous, but I gotta own up to it. One of my favorite things of the summer was the Miley Cyrus Banger special on NBC over the 4th of July weekend. I watched it while I was watching it. I was recording it on my DVR because I don't like to watch commercials. But then I leave it on my DVR, and then I watch it over and over again. I probably watch it like 7 times.
That's awesome. That's what DVRs are for, though. Yeah. It's comforting. Yeah.
I'm
I
like,
have a couple of Law & Order episodes that I've saved on DVR that I want to watch over and again.
I know. I'm just like, I'm going to, the other, like, really, really Stabler-centric, I'm sure.
There's a couple where, like, it's dumb. Like, it's my, like, writerly thing, but, like, every once in a while I'll come across, like, an actor or a character that, like, informs a story idea that I have. So I have those two saved because there's one character in there that I'm like, I want to kind of use or kind of copy that, like, sensibility for another character in a story.
Okay,
like,
that's
not
cool.
Copy it, but just,
oh,
like,
no, I know what you meant.
Inspire.
Just use it as, a little jumping off point of inspiration.
There is one episode, though, that if we have it on our DVR, I will save it because it is super Stabler-centric. He takes his shirt off in it. So, yeah, I'll be saving that. And then I'll be like, Jen, I need some alone time in your basement.
And we're like, please be alone. There's been some iced tea episodes like that for me.
Only really. After he shaves off his ponytail, though, please.
Oh, God.
It's the worst ponytail in the world.
But Richard Belzer, on the other hand. Why are you wearing those sunglasses, mister? I want to see your soulful eyes. Let's do this. Munch, is that what his name is?
Yeah, Munch. I love Munch.
Oh, God. There's so many gross jokes I can make about that. I'm not going to. Yeah, so I love the Miley special. And it's just, I think, what I loved about it is like the same reason I love like Part of Me, and I've seen part of, like the Katy Perry movie so many times.
Yeah.
It's just kind of cool to see like it actually delves into like kind of who they are and what's going on with them in the time of this particular special.
Oh, really? So it's not just like her concert. It actually is like documentary footage too.
You know, yeah, it's really cool because like they talk to her and she's kind of fun to like just listen to talk. She's got such a nasally voice and it's just like this and everything's like this and it's cool.
And it's pretty cool.
Pretty cool. I don't know. She's an interesting character to me. And it's kind of cool to see her kind of grow up and still, you know, she covers, she's like, she does Jolene, you know, in concert.
She does a really great cover of Jolene.
But Dolly Parton's her, like, godmother.
Yeah. So that's kind of, which makes me want to hate her, but whatever.
And then when she does Love Money Party, I love that song, but, like, the part in the special, I mean, she's wearing this outfit. It's ridiculous. It's, like, this hilarious like dollar bill print, like gold chains, and she's like humping a car, like a gold car. I mean, it's just, it's pure magic.
It's a spectacle for sure.
It's pure magic. I love it.
I'm good.
So yeah, banger special.
Number 12
is still on my DVR. Sorry, Oscars, didn't make the cut. I just need to watch the Miley special and be like, her waxer has to be rich.
That's true.
Seriously.
She has a really good waxer. I will attest to that. All right, so my next one is another kind of a downer. I might get happier as we go along. But
that's okay. You're just laying down some
Laying down some realness. Yeah. We're doing some real talk.
Too.
So number 13 was DM Brown and the photo that CT Tamburino took of her in the hospital. So for people who don't know, DM Brown was on, she kind of rose to fame as being part of the Real World Road Rules Challenge. And she did a lot of like the Battle of the Sexes, all those different challenges or whatnot. And she was first diagnosed with cancer, I believe, in 2006. And it was ovarian cancer. And she lost all of her hair. She had surgery. She went into remission and then she got cancer again. And I think this actually happened during another challenge. Like she was in the challenge and she collapsed or something and they life flighted her to the hospital. And then, it looked like she was doing well and was in recovery. And then in August, she was diagnosed once again. And this time tumors spread all over her body and she had to have emergency surgery to remove tumors that were blocking her colon and, kidneys and all this other crazy, awful stuff. So she was in the hospital for the past few months in the fall. And CT Tamburino has been her on and off again boyfriend. And he's from Real World Paris. And I have had a crush on CT since that season. He's from Boston and he's kind of a beefcake, but I love him.
Is he kind of like the Boston twins from SNL? No, you are.
Yeah, totally. Yes, he is. Like he's kind of another guy who's like a caricature of himself, especially on the Real World show. But, and he's built like a Mack truck. Oh my, anyways. So they have been off and on ever since meeting on the first challenge that they were on in 2006. And so, there was a picture taken of DM Brown in her hospital bed and CT sleeping in a chair next to her and they're both sleeping and holding hands. And it was just one of those like things that you see on Instagram that, it's really small, but it's also, like, really affecting.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because they weren't even, like, they've been off and on. Like, they weren't even in, you know, it was just, it's amazing when you see that, like, that type of display of affection and devotion towards another person. And she passed away, I think it was at the beginning of November. And I don't get upset about celebrities that I don't really know and stuff like that. But, like, it was just really sad because, like, she, in the past few years, like, she's been dedicating her life to building this amazing charity and foundation and website for other people who are afflicted with cancer and need support. And she just, like, fought this thing for so long. And then, yeah. So that was definitely a defining pop culture moment of my year. But, yeah, it's kind of sad, but also kind of beautiful in a way, too. So, yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, I guess I just wasn't as familiar with anything that she had done.
Yeah. No, she was very cool. Like, she was one of the very few people. I haven't watched the challenges. I've watched them off and on in the past few years, but I haven't, like, I don't watch it in any way, shape, or form the way that I used to watch Real World.
Yeah.
But she was one of the very few, like, people on that show that, like, was just all around like super fun, awesome, cool person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and somebody who's like that sweet natured. It just sucks when like stuff like that happens to like, I mean, nobody deserves that, but it sucks when it happens to somebody who is so beloved and so wonderful and like has literally dedicated her life to like doing good for other people. So, yeah. Yeah. What's your next one?
Pick it back up. This gets like so light. It's like the worst cotton candy ever.
Good.
One of my really high points of my year was seeing Katy Perry in concert.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. 11th row on the floor. I mean, I don't think awesome. It was like 11th row on the floor. It was like pretty far back, but then it was like really close to this runway that she spent like 50% of the show at.
That's awesome.
And I was like, what's up? Look at me.
I love you.
Connect with me. You know how much I love you.
How was the show?
It was really great.
Was it? Was it better than A Part of Me?
Nothing's better than that. Because they were doing all, you know, in Part of Me, they're doing everything off Teenage Dream, which is just such a great record. Yeah. Like Prism. It was a good enough record.
Yeah, it wasn't as, like, super solid.
Yeah, it was not Teenage Dream. No. But it can't be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting being, like, you know, one of the guys or one of the boys or whatever. Like, the first record, you know, just, like, pushed her to, like, superstardom. Usually, you like, that sophomore record after a huge hit record isn't going to be, like, as crazy good and as popular.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, you can't expect like the next record after that to be super great.
Right.
But it had some really great songs and really good songwriting. And it's like my same complaint with 1989, how it kind of ends on just such a mellow note.
Yeah.
I'm just like, God.
You need to go out with fireworks.
Yeah. Come on now. Baby, you're a firework.
Did you read today? So the big news today, this is coming out in like a week and a half. So this will be old by the time people hear this, but big news today is that Sony pulled the interview. Or not, Sony didn't pull the interview. Theaters decided that they weren't going to show it. And so Sony then decided that they weren't going to do it due to basically a terrorist threat. But one of the things that was talked about by people who did get to see it and who went to the premiere is that, spoiler alert, which doesn't really matter because most of us will probably never see this movie now, is that so the assassination ends with the dictator's head exploding, and it's set to Katy Perry's Fireworks.
God damn it.
I know.
Yeah, I had that on my list, the Sony hack and the interview getting pulled, like coincidence or not.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it wasn't a coincidence at all.
Well, I know, because I'm reading, in, like, some sources are saying, like, yeah, I don't know, they're like, it seems like a kind of a flimsy thing to say that they're connected, but
no, today the article came out that, like, it, yeah, it's absolutely connected.
Oh, I know, but yeah. I know I've read other articles, too, since then that are saying it's a little flimsy.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. My link is just the link that I've provided is just a trailer for that movie no one's ever going to see.
Yeah.
Although, I'm sure that there's screenings and people already have, like, I bet we could find it.
Well, they say that it's probably going to be on BitTorrent. And there's been a lot of discussion today. There's been a lot of chatter today about it, about people wanting to know why won't they just put it out on video of demand and like all this other stuff. And there's a lot of issues surrounding it. But yeah, I mean, Mashable, I think it was Mashable, did a really great in-depth article about what happened, and they did an excerpt of the threat, and it is actually pretty terrifying. But yeah, I don't know. It is one of those things where, like, terrorists are winning. They're going to win.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're supposed to be like, no, we're going to put out this movie because we love Seth Rogen and he worked really hard.
And that's why.
Yeah, so just if you want to, like, hurt some people, I'll tell you what part of Brentwood he lives in. That is a joke. I don't want you to do that.
No.
I don't know where he lives.
And that's why, like, it's such a weird, it's a weird topic to talk about because, like, obviously, I don't want people to get hurt. And I don't want, I don't know, like, I see both points of view where I can see why, like, if I was a theater owner, there's no way that I would put my employees and customers in danger.
Oh, no.
But there's another part of me where I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, if, I don't know. I am not, like, I am not a military person and I'm not, am not conservative or anything, shape or form of that. But like, there is that part of me where I'm just like, if we give in to like this demand to not put out a freaking movie that is a parody of another country's dictator, like, what's next? Like, also, that's a really scary thought.
That's a scary thing, but I also don't want people to die over a Seth Rogen movie.
No, that's
what's worse.
That's very true.
No, I mean, I fucking love Seth Rogen. I think he's comedically brilliant, but okay, let's just put it this way. I don't want anyone to die over a movie that James Franco is in.
Yeah. Seth Rogen, maybe. It might be worth it.
If we could trade, like, if he never laughed the way he laughs again.
I love James Franco, though.
No. I mean, have you ever heard Seth Rogen's laugh?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I meant.
Oh, I thought you were talking about James Franco.
No, James Franco's laugh is fine. Seth Rogen's laugh is like, you know, when you were a kid. When you were a kid and when you're like in the car with like your siblings and they were doing something really annoying, but it just tightens. You know, and you're just like, I'm going to hit him, Mom.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure that there will be billions more commentary and articles and thought pieces and tons of stuff about this in the days to come. So by the time you're listening to this, you're probably all the interviewed out.
Yeah, you're probably like, don't care. I wasn't going to see it anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. Today, it was just that. Because remember after 9/11 when it was like that, it became like ironic and almost a joke of like, if you do this, the terrorists win. Like,
yeah.
I was just thinking about that today. And I'm like, if we don't put out the interview, the terrorists actually do literally win. So, yeah.
No, maybe America wins. What if that movie was really bad?
Everybody who went to the premiere said it was amazing. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want terrorists to win, but I also don't want people to die.
Yeah. It's a... How are we going to solve this dilemma?
I call it... It's not a catch-22. It's a catch-9-11. Oh my God. Fuck.
Next up on Pizza Rainbow Think Tank.
Jenna Fence people. Finally.
All right.
Please,
so
yeah, stop me.
I'll go back to one of my lists. So I feel like all mine kind of suck now that like I'm looking at them for the second time.
No, that's okay. We can work on it.
So my next one is Gerard Way's solo career plus Instagram. So Gerard Way released a solo album. And for those of you who do not know who my husband is, he used to be the front man for My Chemical Romance. And now he's doing a solo career. And it is fucking awesome. Like, I really like him. I almost wrote, like, a blog post about it. Where, like, he's just, from everything that I've seen about him on media and in interviews, like, he's just a nice guy. And, like, he cares about making good music. He cares about giving his fans a really good show. He's always been one of those singers that, like, puts the fans first. I told you about how that one time when he was part of My Chemical Romance, there was this crew of guys who was going around at one of the festivals or the shows telling girls to show their tits, and the video would be shown to My Chemical Romance. And when Gerard Way found out that these guys were doing it, like, he lost his shit and went off about it during the concert. And was just like, if any guys ever come up to you asking you to do that, like, don't do it. Like, that's not what we're about. We would never, ever want to put you in that position. Like, he's just very respectful of women and his fans and music, especially music. Like, he cares about making a really good album. And I was kind of afraid to listen to it because, like, I love him so much that I didn't... You know when, like, your favorite band breaks up and, like, the lead singer puts out something and you're like, oh, God, like, just go back to the band?
Yeah, you're like, you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, this wasn't it at all. Like, it was very, like, it was cool, like, vintage Bowie. Yeah, he just, like, he has a really good... He's very talented at writing, like, catchy hooks and awesome, like, melodies and lyrics and stuff like that. So, and his Instagram is the shit. Like, he has written critically acclaimed comics and graphic novels, and his Instagram is really fun. So,
cool. I'm going to follow him.
Yeah.
I'm stoked.
Yeah. He's, like, yeah. I have, like, my many kind of weird things that I'm kind of obsessed with, and Gerard Way is definitely one of them. Plus, I'm going to marry him.
Oh, please invite me, because I'm sure it'll be lush and gorgeous.
Well, he's already married, but maybe I can make it happen sometime. And he has a daughter named Bandit, which is kind of adorable.
Yeah, sorry you can't break that up, Amber. I can't support that.
In my dreams, I can.
Sure.
I can dream about you.
That's so good. He would appreciate that, Amber.
He would love it.
Probably not.
Whatever. Whoa.
If I can just hold you tonight. Whoa, whoa. Oh. Hurry up with yours.
We had such a good balance, Amber.
Yeah, right.
Okay, my next one is the ending of Breaking Bad. I'm like, no, I don't want it to end. You know, you don't want a show to end usually, but I was ready for it to be over. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
I've never watched an episode.
I loved that show, but towards the probably since, you know, the middle of season two, I was like, I'll just be over. And I kept watching it. And I mean, it was a great show.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ruin the ending because people, you know, but just there's a song, I Am in Love with Badfinger, like the band from the 70s.
Yeah.
And they use their song Baby Blue in like the last part.
That's cool.
Of Breaking Bad, and I just about lost my mind.
Nice. I love it when shows do that, when like they end it with the most perfect song.
Yeah.
Like 6 Feet Under did it with Breathe by Sia, and that was freaking amazing.
Yeah, that destroyed a lot of people.
I need to come up with a different word other than epic. I feel like I'm using epic a lot in this podcast.
Well, why don't
transcendent.
You go on thesaurus.com, they might be able to help you out for free. But so I also like, cause I'm obsessed with that song, and I have a couple Badfinger records, and the song on the version on both those records is the version like without this part in the harmony that's like my favorite part of the song. So I'm watching Breaking Bad in the finale, and I'm like, oh my god, they're gonna do the part with the harmonies, they're gonna do it, and then they wrap it up and they end the show.
So without the harmony?
Without the harmony.
I would be incensed as well.
I was pretty upset. But, you know, it was a good finale, and then I couldn't watch any dramas for, like, 6 months.
Yeah.
I went straight into, like, sitcoms. Yeah. I was like, I need a break. Like, this is all this stuff is too intense for me. So I went immediately into watching Two Broke Girls.
Nice. That stuff does get emotionally draining, though. It's, like, those particular series, like, we were talking about. What was the one with the Orange County Choppers? The one that you...
Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah, Sons of Anarchy. Like, those series were, like, they're gritty and they're, like, a little bit cerebral, but they're also kind of, like, gratuitous violence and stuff like that.
Like Game of Thrones, too.
Yeah, Game of Thrones. 6 Feet Under wasn't, like, violent, but it was kind of, it was emotionally deep. Yeah, and then True Detective and, like, all those, like... House of Cards for me too, and in Orange is the New Black, like I want to race through them, but when I'm done, like I need a break.
Yeah,
like, it's going into like a dark psyche for a little while, and then like afterwards, yeah, like you need fluff. And yeah, after Orange is the New Black, I'm like Gilmore Girls. I'm gonna watch that.
Yep, I went like Breaking Bad, Two Broke Girls, New Girl, and I was just like, I think I'm almost ready for a drama again.
Yeah,
almost.
Yeah. Which one do you think you want to do next?
Which drama? I don't know. Everybody loves Breaking Bad. I'm talking about. Everybody loves Walking Dead. I haven't seen a single episode, but I feel so far behind that Amber's shaking her head like she's a little kid
dizzy. I will never watch that show.
Probably because it's too gross.
Yeah, I can't handle it.
It's like, okay. So, I mean, that's just one of them. I mean... For the one show that I can, that's kind of exhausting, then I can always keep watching no matter what, is Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I could just watch, I don't know what it is. It's like a world that, like, is not familiar to me. It's not like present day. There's just something about it. It's so, my disbelief is so suspended that they can do so much with it that I'm just like, what's going to happen next? It's just like, give it to me. I can't get enough.
I could probably start watching that again. I watched like a handful of episodes in the first season, but I just finished like all the books. So it was really aggravating to me to like see how they carried the books to the screen, especially when like they would cut out pieces that like they didn't need to cut out.
Yeah.
It would have been like totally easy to do it and then add it to the storyline. So I think I have enough distance from the books now that like I could watch it without it making me crazy.
Yeah. Well, and for me, like, that's not a genre that I read ever. Like, ever.
Oh, I love that genre. Yeah.
So, like, I can kind of just be in that.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll read them someday, but I'm not touching them till I'm far enough in because they change things and I hear things from other people. I'm like, what?
Yeah, no, they change. They change a lot. Again, yeah. Like, I feel like a lot of it is unnecessary changes. But I also feel like later on in the series, like, I have heard that there's, like, cool different storylines that they kind of branch off into that, like, make it worth it. So, I don't know. I know, like, the set design and the costume design and the acting is amazing.
Yeah. But,
yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'll start that one over the holidays again.
Ooh, you should.
Kind of review it.
Because I think isn't all the HBO stuff going to be on Amazon?
I don't know. I have HBO Go, though, so I can just...
shut up and watch it.
No, I need to pick a new drama, too, but I kind of don't want to just because I never get anything done then. If I'm like, I'm going to watch this.
I don't even know what's left to watch.
I don't know. When is Girls come back on?
I think mid-January or February, I think.
Okay. Yeah, like, and there has to be a couple. Oh, you know which one that I really want to see? It's the Kinsey one. The drama...
Or the Masters of Sex?
Yeah, the Masters of Sex.
I started watching the show and I was kind of like, eh. It's just like, for me, it was like lacking. It was just almost like a little too melancholy for me. Okay.
The two leads in that show are two of my favorite actors.
Oh, yeah. I love them.
Yeah.
What's the Jeffrey Tambor one where he is a father, but he is also transgender?
Oh, that one's streaming. That's only on streaming.
And yeah, but whatever the name of the...
Transparent? I think it's called Transparent.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to start watching. That's kind of, technically the next on my, like,
yeah, because we kind of saw a little bit of that on People's Couch.
Yeah.
People's Couch is great for introducing me to new shows.
Oh, my God. Isn't that? It's the best. I love People's Couch.
I do, too. It shows, like, the highlights and the reactions is so perfect. God, I love that show.
It's like hanging out and watching TV with your friends.
Yeah.
So, really, it's just a TV show for lonely people.
Which is why we love it.
Yep. I'm perpetually lonely.
So, my next one was Blake Lively. She did Vogue's 73 questions this year.
Those
are fun. Oh, so fun. It was, like, fun to actually see her, like, not be Gossip Girl. You know what I mean? Where, like, you actually got, like, a glimpse of what Blake Lively's really like.
Like, nice and cheery and charming. I hate it.
You know, but she has...
I'm kidding.
She has a really interesting sense of humor, though. Like, it's very dry, and it's also kind of, like, it comes off as, like... Like, if you don't know that she's being funny, it comes off as being, like, really bitchy. You're like, oh, that was kind of mean. And then you realize that, like, she's just being very dryly sarcastic.
Yeah.
Which is why I really like that video. But
I thought that was so
freaking adorable.
Yeah. That was such a fun video. And she always has the best fucking hair.
Yes. And her fucking husband is Ryan Reynolds. Like, she lives the life that I'm like, this is supposed to be my life.
And then she can be like, oh, yeah, Scarlett Johansson prepared my husband to be a good husband.
I love how, like...
Thanks for the training wheels.
Yep.
And sexiest woman alive.
And Ryan Reynolds calls her house the Blakery. Yeah, and so... And she also put out her website this year, Preserve, which I was really excited about, and then deeply disappointed when it came out. It was not what I had expected it to be. But, yeah, whatever. Creative ventures are hard, so whatever. And then she is goddamn pregnant. And she's the most goddamn cutest pregnant lady in the entire universe.
I know. It's sick. She needs to be destroyed.
She does.
After the baby is born, of course. No.
Oh,
I love Blake Lively. She never comes across as being, like, bitchy or...
No, she never comes across as being, like, a pretentious asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's just... But she is that girl that we all know in high school and college that, like, is effortlessly perfect and also really nice. And it makes you want to hate her, but you can't.
Yeah.
Because she's going to bake you a basket of muffins and leave them at your door. And then you're like, you goddamn bitch. Now I can't hate you. Now I love you.
You spit on the muffins and then eat them anyway. That's exactly. I'm not saying like a fucking loogie. Everything is.
Yeah, you're making it even worse.
Oh, yes. I love to. It's so easy to gross you out, Amber.
God, stop.
You are such a protected little princess.
I know.
Gross. Gross. Anyway.
No, my bodily function stuff.
Don't say it like that.
All right, your next one.
My next one. Okay, have you seen, I should have prepped you for this because I would like to talk to you about this.
Okay.
I don't know why a commercial made it on my pop culture list.
Commercials are awesome.
Have you seen that Weight Watchers commercial where they do the If You're Happy and You Know It song?
No, I don't think so.
You're like happy and you know it, have a snack.
What?
And then it just, you're like, who are these snarky fucks? And they're like, you don't know what's Weight Watchers. They're like, if you're sad and you know it, have a snack. Like, if, you know.
Yeah.
And just, it goes on and on and on. And it's basically like, basically like a funny, like, but dark and weird commercial about eating your feelings from the people that help you not eat your feelings. And I'm just like, I don't know. It just seems really strangely mean-spirited.
Really? I'm going to have to watch it.
And it probably isn't, but I just, I think advertising-wise, I think it went in a really weird direction. And I kind of, you know, in with companies like that, I would prefer sincerity and inspirational stuff, you know, and Jennifer Hudson commercials.
Yes, Jennifer Hudson commercials are the best.
You know, yeah. Not like a me, like a weird, if you're happy, what, like she's happy and she's eating an ice cream cone. Then she's crying and she's eating an ice cream cone. Like, how'd you get in my life and get me on that?
Yeah, and if that's your issue, like Weight Watchers is not going to fix that for
you.
Yeah,
exactly. It's called Overeaters Anonymous.
Yeah, it's called having, yeah, being addicted to food.
It was, you got to check it out. It's really weird.
What I will. I'll have to
watch What are you it. Thinking, Weight Watchers? My dog's pissed off about it.
Yeah, she's, Birdie's pissed.
Yeah.
She wants some answers. She's going to drop her spokesman role from Weight Watchers.
She's like, that's it. I am no longer going to be a spokesperson for dog Weight Watchers.
I don't care how many much money they pay me.
Yeah. I've made you enough money already. Give me some more.
What's the other one? Is it Jenny Craig?
Yeah, Jenny Craig. Yeah, who does, is Jenny Craig like the one that?
I think Jessica Simpson does that one. Doesn't she?
Maybe.
I think so. I think she does. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. I don't know. Like, that stuff is weird just because, like, there's so many messages around that stuff and, like, it's not very positive. Or it's, like, super sugary positive, but it's meant to, like, sell a product. Like, I think Dove, I commend Dove on all the things that they've done in advertising to, like, make women feel better about themselves, like normal, natural women. I get into a little bit of, like, a weird thing. Like, again, it's that thing where it's, like, I'm not going to knock the models in the Victoria's Secret fashion show because I don't look like them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They're still people, too. They still have feelings. Just because, like, I feel inferior to them doesn't mean that, like, I have to slag on them.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, they still have feelings. Their feelings are just less valid because they're skinny.
Right. Because they have a higher metabolism than
they do. Some of them are married to Adam Levine.
Yeah. Oh. Well, and in that case, and they have absolutely poor judgment.
Yeah. And they've got a bigger fish to fry. Just kidding.
We should feel sorry for them.
I didn't know that Bahati Prinsloo was as, like, adorably charming until I saw her on that.
Really?
Oh, my God.
I haven't watched it yet. Did you record it?
No. Nope.
Damn it.
I watched it in my bedroom.
Okay. All right. I'll figure out a way to watch it. No, but yeah. And I, yeah. So like Dove has done some good stuff with that. But I just, I don't know. It's such a weird, like, I think people who are outside of that don't realize like how weirdly emotional and mental like all of that stuff is. And so when it comes to stuff like Special K and Weight Watchers and like Slim Fast, it's like it doesn't, I don't know. Like to me, I don't know anybody who's overweight that is like, it's just because I'm hungry all the time. Like, it has nothing to do with that. You know what I mean? Not really. It's more of just like the, I don't know. I'm not speaking for everybody, but I, yeah, it's more of like, I don't know, for myself and for a lot of people close to me who struggle with it, a lot of it is like emotional. Like, I'm not eating because I'm starving. I'm going to McDonald's because like I had a bad day and I want something to cheer me up. Like, it's kind of, it's more that mentality. Mm-hmm. So
I get that.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's just too bad that whenever I'm sad and hungry that I'm like, man, I am sad. I want some motherfucking carrots. You know?
Yeah, I don't know anybody who ever says that.
It'd probably be good, though. I mean, have you ever like, truly, like, noticed if you had, like, a bunch of carrots, just carrots, they have so much sugar in them that you're just like, I get like a sugar buzz off carrots.
Root vegetables actually have a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
And when you roast them, that's why they taste so good, is because you're bringing all the sugar to the surface. So, yeah.
Bring me that sugar.
My little nutritionist.
Vegetables.
Wisdom nugget for you. Yeah. No, I don't know. We could have a whole podcast on like eating and stuff like that, but we don't have to do it right now. We can do it if we want to, but.
We'll just do that while we're eating McDonald's later.
Yeah. I think about like eating really well and like eating lots of natural foods.
But then I just say, fuck that. And then I want some nuggets.
Or Chipotle. I haven't had Chipotle in probably at least a month. I'm super
purpose?
Proud of myself. Yes. High five.
I haven't had Heggies in almost 2 months.
That's true.
Not to fucking one up you at a meal.
No, because
like that.
I think maybe it's been longer. I know it's been at least a month, but I think when you stopped having Heggies is when I stopped having Chipotle.
Well, I'm sorry to have robbed you of your Chipotle.
No, it's been amazing. Because remember the last time that we had it and I was like, something's wrong with this? Like, it tasted really weird.
And it wasn't because you were just kind of burnt out?
No, it was either like the sour cream or it was the chicken or something. Like, it didn't taste gross and I didn't get sick, but it had a weird taste to it. And ever since then, like, I haven't had a craving
for it. You get black beans. Maybe it was your beans, because I got pinto beans and I didn't think it tasted weird.
I don't know. Anyways, I'm really proud of myself because I have saved a ton of money. I have saved a ton of calories. Not really, but at least I haven't spent those calories on Chipotle.
Yeah.
Yeah. It used to be like an addiction for me. So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad.
Hallelujah for me, everybody.
You're done good. You're done good.
Now I'll get like a whole bunch of Chipotle gift cards in the mail.
Oh, my God. Hey, I know you're not good at this. Not even Chipotle. Just keep doing it. We're called the universe. We're just going to keep on enabling you.
That's right. So my next one is the new pop culture term called lumbersexual.
I'm turned on already.
Yeah. Which I was delighted about just because it's been a thing that I've personally been into for quite some time. And I'm glad to see that it's now becoming a thing in the greater Ride universe. The love for the lumbermans.
I just wrote it down on a piece of paper and it looks phenomenal because it starts with an L and it ends with an L.
Yeah, it's great. I like
Seriously,
it.
Seriously, look at how beautiful that is. Even upside down.
It's very, like, I have it. I have it on my paper too, Jennifer, so I see how amazing. I don't know. This is dumb.
No, you're just being an asshole to me. Get the loops of my L's, bitch.
No, I like it. That's my new favorite word of the year. I think it's better than VOP or VAPE or whatever that dumb word is for electronic cigarettes.
Vape.
You
know? Yeah, I don't like it because it sounds like rape.
Yeah.
I don't like
it. Like, I don't know anybody cool who does it, so.
No, me either.
No, it's all like skanky.
I hate the term, but I really love that you're so adorable that you're like vape.
I'm calling Target, Target, like vape.
I am going to call it vape now because that does not sound like rape.
Yeah.
Not that I know that's no, I don't mean to make it sound a joke about the R word, but you know, it's just, I don't like it. It's just.
I don't like it either. No, I totally agree with you. I don't feel like it should have been the word of the year at all. Lumbersexual is the best because it's evocative. It's about handsome men in beards.
It's got the word sexual in it.
Yep. And it's produced an entire calendar dedicated to what you would call a lumbersexual.
You were ahead of the fucking curve.
I fucking was. And Girl from the North Woods, all we did was celebrate lumbersexuals. Because we lived in the North Woods.
Well, I think that you should just go ahead, change the dates to 2015 dates, and get the more money lumbersexual-wise.
I kind of want to. I kind of want to be like, let's market it off this new online trend here.
Absolutely should. Can I be a lumberjack girl in a new photograph with one of the hottest ones?
That would be super fun. Yeah. I kind of want to produce another calendar now that I'm down here. I had so much fun, but God, the logistics of it were ridiculous.
Calendars are so fun.
They're fun. They cost a surprisingly amount of money, and you don't really make a lot of money.
Well, yeah. So. I mean, anything that you have to print, like a high-quality print of, it's going to cost you a bunch of money. And production value, production-wise, that's expensive, too.
Yeah. And if people aren't doing it pro bono, even if it's for charity, it costs you a lot of money. So,
yeah.
Anyways, I'm still paying off that goddamn Dapper Dozen calendar, but Seriously? It was for charity, so it's fine. Yeah, I totally ate a huge amount of costs, and I still have people to pay for it. So well, that was really fun.
That's another reason why you should probably bring it back.
So I can remake all the money I lost on it.
Shit.
That'd be great. Yep. Yep. One of the things about being an ethical producer. So one of the downsides to it.
We'll work on that because it's just terrible.
It is.
No, it's maybe, not. You did
maybe
good.
Maybe I'll do like a Photoshop one. Where like I'll make it like really awful quality and be like, I made this on my computer.
Yeah, let's put us in it.
And yeah, or Photoshop faces of people like Jason Derulo onto like.
But it'll be for charity, and then people will have to pay to have people photoshopped into it.
Oh, that would be really cool. Well, yeah, there's a couple different things we can do with that.
Talk about that on the side here.
Pizza Rainbow Project number one.
Number one. Number let's try one. Already like 53 projects.
Yeah, we gotta make stickers. We gotta make. Patches.
Yeah, we're not going to make a list of that here, though.
No.
You guys don't need to know what we're working on.
Yeah.
Although you probably already have an idea if you've listened to the 7 episodes already.
And you're going to need to buy it, so at some point we are going to tell you about it.
Yeah, but not right now. Don't steal it.
It's a Pizza Rainbow Lab. All right, go on to your next one.
All right. So, I really kind of thought about whether or not I wanted to talk about this during our podcast. Because we do one. But it's been kind of... What?
I don't know.
Okay. But we've been, you know, we do a lot of laughing. And we really enjoy comedy. And it's been a really hard year on a national level. Mm-hmm. For losing comedians, you know? Like,
yeah.
And very unexpectedly, you know, Joan Rivers passing and Robin Williams passing. Was pretty crazy and unexpected.
Yeah.
And really kind of brought
Elaine
a lot.
Stritch, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Elaine. And Minneapolis hasn't been, you know, isn't immune to it either. And I guess I just want to remember, you know, just doing comedy like I have intermittently for, you know, almost 2 years. You know, just remembering Gus Lynch and Bill Young. I didn't know them super well, but they were always so nice to me. And they were both so talented. And just left behind so many friends and family and just very unexpected. And just want to give a shout out to everyone on my scene. And please don't think I'm a weird poser because it's just been really rough and I just love you all.
Yeah. No, it's been, yeah, even somebody who's kind of outside of the comedy world and is a big supporter of it, but not like an active participant, it has been really sad to see all the different passings and kind of the way that it's affected the immediate and the national community. Robin Williams was like, that was surprisingly, not surprisingly, but like, that was really emotional for me.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that a lot of it had to do with the fact that like, he was just at Hazelden and like, he had been struggling with, you know, depression for so long.
Yeah.
And I will never ever say this about anybody's death. I will never say like one good thing that came out of it because that is, it's fucking ridiculous. But it did start a conversation and a dialogue about mental health issues and depression and suicide and things like that. So I am glad that that happened, but it was, yeah,
it was just brutal. It was brutal and it was shocking and it just, I want to say that it came out of nowhere. I mean, even when you know someone is struggling with, you know, issues, whether it be like a chemical dependency issue or depression issues, yeah. You know, when something like that happens, it just, especially, you know, if you've had experience in the past personally with like mental illness and depression, it just seems that much closer to your heart.
Yeah, it does. I think it affects you that much more because there's a certain amount of empathy and you relate to it a little bit more on a deeper level than other people might.
Yeah, and I feel like for me, and this is going to sound kind of weird, but I feel like I kind of, when Robin Williams passed away and then when Joan Rivers passed away, I feel like I retreated from my local comedy scene, and which seems really strange, but I feel like going into it, I felt like I would be kind of insincere.
Okay.
You know, going in and being like, oh, I want to be part of this. When honestly, I should have been like, hey, what can I do for everyone?
Yeah.
You know, so I just kind of like look back on that. But
yeah. No, I think that's difficult. It's I don't know. When it affects a certain community, like the way that it affected the comedy community, it's tough to, I mean, it's like that thing of like, do I go to the funeral of this person that I didn't really know very well? You know what I mean? Or should I just kind of like stay away out of respect for those who are closer to them? But I think, yeah, because there's so much emotion and there's so many like landmines in that.
Well,
kind
and
of
I
stuff.
Feel like, you know, I think they're especially in kind of a Facebook driven world. I feel like you kind of use this like a little bit of judgment where you don't want to be too much of like to show that maybe you're too like how sad you are because you don't want to feel insincere. And you don't want to, like, quote-unquote, overshare.
It's a form of attention getting, I think, for some people.
Yeah.
And, like, I hate saying that because there's a lot of really good people that share those feelings and do it in a really authentic, genuine way. But, like, there are those people that everybody knows that, like, will over-dramatize things to gain sympathy for themselves. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and I'm really glad. I mean, I didn't see that anywhere, you know, within the local community when we lost, like, Gus Lynch and Bill Young, which is really nice.
No, I didn't see that anywhere, too. I think Minneapolis in general, like, has a really good community like that where, like, I think, because they're so inherently Minnesotan, too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you're going to see a lot of, like, preening and pretentiousness and like taking advantage of other people's sorrows for their own gain.
Well, so. And I think, you know, given the right, I mean, if any of my comic friends listen to this, and let's like be honest, they probably don't, but you know, comics can be assholes. Like, we're insecure people at heart to a certain degree.
Yeah.
But we sure know when to fucking pull it together and not be an asshole.
That's true.
Like 80%.
Yeah. It's such a, I don't know. We could spend another whole podcast talking about like the community of comedians and like, I don't know, just like all the psychology behind like living your life trying to make other people laugh.
Yeah.
Like, and a lot has been written and said about kind of the emotional stories of comedians, but
well, yeah, exactly. But that's not something I want to get into.
No, we don't have
to. I just want to say that that my feelings are genuine. And as much as I kind of was like, I'm just going to step back because I don't have a whole lot, you know, to contribute except for my condolences and just,
yeah, which is sometimes all you need to do.
Yeah.
We miss you, Joan.
We miss you, Robin.
I miss that broad.
And then as for Gus and Bill, it's just really hard because honestly they were kind of two of the people like I kind of thought, you know, within like established comics. I mean, there's plenty that were you're nice to me, but all of my best in the afterlife. There's a reason why they put the memoriams like right before a commercial break. Oh, my God. No, please don't think I'm an asshole.
No, not
hey, you know who's an asshole? Shia LaBeouf. Let's move on.
All right. So number 18 for pop culture moment was FKA Twigs on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. And the fact that she's dating Robert Pattinson. The girl is fucking kick-ass. I love her music. I think she's fucking awesome. Yeah. I think Robert Pattinson is great for dating her, too.
I do, too. I don't get it, but
I do.
More power to her for being artistic and interesting.
Yeah, she's very artistic. I love it. All right, yours.
I'm moving on to something for me is Letterman's pending retirement.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
Well, Stephen Colbert is going to be taking over, trying to throw pencils behind him. Do you remember when he used to do that?
Yes, I
love that. It's the stupidest dad joke ever, but I love it. I'm going to miss David Letterman. I had a whole summer, like, between the 9th and 10th grade where all I did was play Mario Kart all day. And then at 10:30, I would watch Letterman.
Nice.
And then I'd watch Conan O'Brien.
Oh,
and then, you know, then I'd masturbate probably, but maybe not.
Make it a full night.
Yeah, I was like, ugh. Get my sexy old man and my sexy ginger.
I'm set.
Yeah, but I think it's really funny that David Letterman announced his retirement. You know, did you watch Louis at all? Louis C.K. show?
Yeah.
That whole story arc in Fall of 2012?
Yeah.
Where, you know, Letterman's going to retire and then Seinfeld gets it? I thought that was kind of interesting. I was like, he really did retire.
Yeah.
I'm like, I wonder if there's like an element of truth in that. If
Louis is an oracle.
Or if an oracle, maybe. I mean, I'm just like, did that really happen? Like, maybe it really happened, you know? But he just kind of had to, obviously, if you're going to elaborate and make it kind of big and glitzy as to, you know, you're going to go with, you know, who your competition is going to be, like Seinfeld, like when they get Chris Rock. And then Chris Rock's like, man, and then all of a sudden they're like, Chris Rock's. And then they run. I'm like, oh my God, it's so funny. Comics are so terrible. It's so true. I love them, but it's so great. Yeah. And then, welcome to late night Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. That's my favorite.
I don't care what anybody says. Like, it's so funny. It's like a polarizing subject, that Jimmy Fallon. You know?
What do you mean?
Because some people are like, they love him. And then some people are like, he's not funny.
What? Yeah. I don't know anybody who thinks that. And if they do, you guys are fucking assholes.
Well, I will get you some names and addresses, and you can do my evil bidding.
I will send them some letters. Some strongly worded letters. How can you not think Fallon is hilarious?
I mean, even if he's not funny, I think he's a really good host. And I think he connects.
And okay. I will concede that, like, you may not think that Jimmy Fallon as a person, like the way that he tells his jokes, may not be funny to you. But the show itself is hilarious. It is entertainment, late night entertainment at its finest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I was watching, there was this episode where it was Jimmy Fallon and Justin Timberlake, and I was watching it and I was like, these fucking guys can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
They literally can just do whatever they want. Yeah. Whenever they want.
I feel bad because I don't watch Seth Meyers as much as I feel like I should to support his show, because I think he's really hilarious too. And I love his show. And like, I feel like I miss out a lot on Jimmy Kimmel's show, which is also hilarious.
Mean Tweets, like, is a source of my joy.
So funny. And like, when Bachelor is on, Jimmy Kimmel's show after The Bachelor is pretty much the best thing on TV. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's awesome. Yeah, I need to get more. I used to be that person that, like, would go to bed right, like, at 9 or 10, so I'd always miss late night shows, but I need to start watching them more on the regular. I feel like I miss out on a lot on the pop culture landscape by missing them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to DVR all of them.
Oh, my God.
Did you get that Jenny Slate one?
Yes.
She was on Conan, or what? Yeah, it was Conan.
Yeah, she was on Conan.
Yeah, and she did Marcelle the Shell voice for Landslide.
She's so cute. She's so funny.
She's awesome. She's hot too. That dress was amazing.
It's a really good dress. Distracts from her face.
I love her face. Dork.
I just wanted to throw something bitchy and I didn't really mean it.
My number 19 was Shailene Woodley's Hippie Stuff this year.
Oh, it's just like, that. I sold all of my stuff.
I live in the forest.
I live in the forest. I don't have any clothes.
I think she's adorable. No, I just, I like, love all her. That stuff is so funny. And there was an article that Maggie Lang wrote called My Week Living Like Shailene Woodley. And it still, like, to this day, it's probably one of the best things I've read all year. It's hilarious. I'll link to it on the post. But, yeah. I don't know. Like, I am definitely not as hippie as Shailene Woodley. I don't think I know anybody who's as hippie as she is, but like, I kind of love her like whole adorable, like, this is who I am and this is what I'm all about. And she's so enthusiastic about it too. Like, it's really, really cute.
Oh yeah. I mean, seriously, that's like one of my favorite things is just sincere enthusiasm about anything.
Yeah.
Like from people, you know, down to like straight up like celebrities.
Yeah.
I'm just a fan of unbridled like positivity and fucking enthusiasm.
Yeah. I am right there with you. All right, you.
I'm out.
You're done?
Yeah, I'm out. What? I did 10.
Oh, okay. My 20th.
You keep yelling at me? God, Mom.
My 20th one was Barack Obama on Between Two Ferns.
Seriously?
Otherwise known in this podcast as Obama Barack.
Obama Barack. God, that's so good. It's so fun to say. Barack Obama, that's strong, but Obama Barack?
That's real.
I kind of feel like I want Maya Rudolph to say that. Obama Barack.
Yeah, she'd be perfect to see
her.
Oh,
God, she'd be so good.
Yeah.
I love her.
I do, too. Oh, my gosh, we made it, like, just over an hour. We're getting really good on time lately.
It's like a sixth sense.
Yeah. Like, Amber,
done. Fucking high five.
Oh, did you have any honorable mentions? Because I had a couple. I had Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis having a bae. I was, like,
calling in Wyatt? What the fuck?
I love that, though. I like it when I kind of like Wyatt and I like Lincoln. For
Lincoln,
a baby
I like.
Girl.
Lincoln
yeah.
is all.
I was oddly mesmerized by Mila Kunis's pregnancy, though. I don't know why.
Because she played it real.
Yeah.
She didn't have to go everywhere. Look, I mean, sorry, Blake Lively, you're doing that shit great too. But she didn't have to go everywhere, like, perfect.
Yeah, I kind of, there's something that I really like about, and I've never been pregnant before, so I, yeah. But it is one of those things where, like, I really respect it when you're in the spotlight like that and you go out of your way to kind of, like, keep those things private for you and your family. Like, even though I want to know everything and I would gladly read all about it, like, I kind of like it when people are like, nope, like, this is just private. We're going to keep it to ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, Olivia Wilde. Aren't they the couple, Olivia Wilde that and Jason Sudeikis, that they didn't even announce that she had her baby until like 2 months afterwards or whatever?
I couldn't tell you.
Something like that.
I love Olivia Wilde, but I also don't like to really believe that Jason Sudeikis is off the market. I mean, I respect their marriage. I will not try anything.
You know, though, like, there's something about him that, like, he strikes me as kind of the guy who has like a wandering eye. Like, I don't know if it was because of the whole, like, rumor that he also fathered January Jones's baby. But, like, there's just something about him where I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that rumor was just kind of a basic rumor because they had dated.
Yeah.
But she had also, I think she's never said.
No, she hasn't.
I mean, it's no one's business. I mean, it kind of is.
It
but
is.
It's
my business, but.
It's just my business, January. Pretend I'm Barbara Walters.
Tell me. Who impregnated you? Who is the father?
You are not the father. Maury should ask her. Sorry, January. You're classy. You might be from South Dakota, but you classy.
I don't know. But I really, another honorable mention was when Olivia Wilde posed for Glamour magazine breastfeeding her child. It is a gorgeous photograph. It's amazing. I love seeing stuff like that become more of the norm in our popular culture landscape. So
yeah,
I'm going to start a new blog called Popular Culture Landscape and just put a bunch of different stuff on there.
And make a landscape collage.
I'll just like write quotes of all the stuff that I say to like try to look smart.
Oh, honey, that's going to be a real like short website. I'm kidding. That was the main thing to say to be funny. It just came out of me. Did you say anything about my new mother, Amal?
That was an honorable mention, too. I love Amal Clooney.
Her style, her ability to fucking nail that shit down quickly.
Her brain, her humanitarian
she's
efforts.
She's a lawyer.
She's, like, not just a lawyer. Like, she's one of the most amazing, badass lawyers
she's
in
the
world.
Lawyer.
Yeah. She's fucking amazing.
I mean, you have to be. Broad. You have to be to get George Clooney.
Yeah. You gotta be classy. You gotta really know how to work that class.
And he made her quit smoking.
That's true. I did read about that,
too. I love that.
Yeah.
I love some real People magazine shit right there.
Yeah. I like that she's kind of the new role model. There was an article that Kate O'Reilly shared a couple days ago about how you don't have to be – it was the new trophy wife.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Yeah, which I think is awesome. Like, she quite honestly, she is a celebrity in her own right. And I can't remember which online publication it was, but they had posted an article saying Amal – I don't know how to pronounce her last name, so I won't try it. But, like, acclaimed lawyer, blah, 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 marries actor. It was
oh
amazing.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Yeah, and that's how it should be. It was awesome.
But it's like, if she's the new trophy wife, like, I can't live up to that shit.
I know.
I could have maybe like gotten thin and like made my hair blonder, you know, but
yeah,
I can't be that smart.
She does kind of inspire me. She makes me want to go back to school a little bit.
Back to school. Yeah.
Which I've been thinking about anyways, so yeah, maybe that's a push in the right direction. To
everyone in the comments, give Amber some really inspirational stuff on going back to school.
Tell me what I should go back to school for. That's what I want to know. I kind of want to study fairy tales, like the literature and archaeological roots of fairy tales, but like that would be something that I'd want to go into so I could study in Oxford. Like something really like obscure and weird that I could just like write a book about.
That'd be amazing because you could write a book about it and then you could put yourself on the cover and then you could like they could totally do like the fairy tale.
Yes, like, pose it like a Harlequin romance cover. Yes. Only it's an incredibly intelligent and intellectual dissertation on the roots of fairy tales.
Yeah, and you still used to be hot.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I'll do.
You can do whatever put your mind
to. In the comments of our blog post, please advise me on what you think I should go back to school for. It has to be an area of study, though, that I can study at Oxford.
And also, someone start her a GoFundMe.
Yes, please.
Or not, because she doesn't deserve it.
I do.
You deserve it.
I deserve everything.
Why am I being so mean?
I don't know.
I'm feeling weird. I'm so sorry. I do love you.
You're not being mean.
I love you and I love our podcast.
I love our podcast, too. It's going to be Christmas. Christmas will have passed by the time this comes out. So, Merry Christmas to everybody who celebrates Christmas.
Yeah. Happy holidays. I'm sorry that I just started a war on Christmas. Those of you that feel like that happy holiday, whatever, go fuck yourself.
And then we won't do another podcast until after the new year. So, Happy New Year to everybody as well.
Oh, seriously, this will come out after the new year.
No, it'll come out before the new year, but we won't be doing another podcast until
after the new year. Yeah. All right. Well, party hard, be safe, and tell me where you're partying.
Yeah. Invite us to your party.
Have the best time.
Make your resolution to listen to more Pizza Rainbow.
Yes, that's the best resolution.
How about this? Make your resolution to subscribe, rate, and review Pizza Rainbow, but only if you're going to leave us a nice review. Then just subscribe and rate it 5 stars. That's all you have to do. You don't have to write anything.
Because that's exhausting.
Yeah. But we don't want to hear it if you don't have anything nice to say. Which, if you are listening by this time, like, you should be done. So. All right. Anyways, thanks everybody for listening. Merry Christmas and have a happy new year.
Peace out. Boop.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to Episode 7 of Pizza Rainbow. For this and other great podcasts, you can find us over at mathishard.net. You can also head on over to iTunes, where you can subscribe to us and get a new podcast fresh every Friday. For more Jen Paulson, you can find her on
Tiger Beat Poet
on Twitter and on Instagram at
Jen June Paulson.
For more of me on Twitter, you can find me at Amber_L Carter and on AmberLCarter.com. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you again next Friday.